Welcome to the YYY Show, a comedy podcast about search histories, life, and
weird things that humor our little neural connections. I'm Jing'an.
And I'm Eliza. And in this podcast, we are going to talk about interesting things that we search for on the internet this week.
But first, we need to make a small disclaimer. This is a comedy podcast, and we do our best to research the things we find.
If there's anything that is factually inaccurate, please send us your corrections through our social media channels. You can find us at YYY Show on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
So, Eliza, what is your search term for the week?
My search term is prosopagnosia.
Ooh, sounds familiar.
It's a big word.
Prosopagnosia.
Do you want me to spell it?
Okay.
Prosopagnosia. Okay, guess what it means?
Cannot recognize faces.
Yes. How come you know?
I can't believe I guessed it right.
How can you know?
Because it sounds very familiar.
Not bad. Also, you came across it before.
Yeah, it's because like some drama or what, then the person has these cannot recognize faces.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then my mom was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to Google it. And then there's this word, prosopagnosia or something like that.
Yeah. So it means face blindness. And it comes from the Greek word, prosopon, meaning face.
Uh-huh.
And agnosia, meaning non-knowledge. So it's like non-knowledge of faces.
Ah, okay.
And people who have this have an inability to recognize faces.
Oh.
Yeah, right leh. You guessed it right on the first try.
I know, right? How interesting is that? My mind palace remembers.
Yeah, it's like inside your mind palace. Okay, so how do you think this face blindness occurs? Like in the drama, what happened?
I can't remember. Just normally we only find out much later. I didn't finish watching. I just watched with her whenever.
Was it in a hospital or something?
No lah. Like when you first like get into the scene, then he cannot recognize faces already.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was like some past trauma or something. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. So they didn't tell you why.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let me tell you why then.
Okay.
Okay. It's thought to be the result of abnormalities, damage or impairment in the right fusiform gyrus. It's a fold in the brain that coordinates facial perception and memory. So that connection between perceiving faces and their memory is affected. Yeah. Sometimes people are born with it.
Okay.
But sometimes people get it after a stroke.
Oh.
Or a traumatic brain injury.
Like a car crash or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like something that will happen
in a K-drama, right?
Yes. Yeah.
If not, then there will be maybe some neurodegenerative disease.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, interestingly, right, there are varying degrees to this inability to recognize faces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happened to the K-drama person?
I don't remember.
Don't remember at all. Okay. Yeah. It's just like a blip in your tiny memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I didn't watch it in full. I just sit down with my mom whenever she watches it.
Oh.
Then like I watch it in like little snippets and I didn't even get to know the ending.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So sad. Well, anyway, some people, they cannot recognize their own face.
Oh.
Or just their family members' faces.
Oh.
Like their spouse or their children, they cannot recognize.
Oh.
Okay, some people have a milder form where they cannot recognize unknown faces. Like if you put different pictures of strangers,
okay,
then you
they
show them
tell
one.
Them apart.
You show them one, then you ask them, okay, out of five, just now which one you see, then they don't know.
Okay.
And then others with severe face blindness, right?
Uh-huh.
They cannot distinguish a face from an object.
Okay.
So like maybe put a face and a pancake, then they cannot tell the difference.
Oh my god. Wow.
Mm.
That's quite amazing.
Mm.
I guess that's quite severe.
Yeah, it's very severe, right? Because
yeah.
You cannot tell whether it's a face or a pancake.
How will you live then if you cannot tell the difference between a face and a pancake? How will you know that anything else is not a face?
I guess if it's connected to a body and it's moving, then you know that it's probably not a walking pancake.
Okay.
Okay, so people with face blindness, right? They will use identifying markers to identify a person.
Identifying markers.
Yes. So
for example, in the drama he used like for example like the collar is which way or like this person's habits.
Yes. Correct. So like a hairstyle, a clothing,
yeah, exactly.
A mole, a tattoo, a limp maybe a limp.
Like all the other small details except for the face.
Or if not the mannerism, la, which is what you just described. La. Like the way the person talk, or how the voice sounds, or some hand gestures or something. Yeah. So they use all that to remember people.
Oh.
Yeah. The problem is when the person makes changes to their appearance, then the person with face blindness won't be able to recognize them.
Yeah.
Like if they get a haircut or they drastically change their clothing, right? Then it's like, cannot identify really.
Yes. That happened in the show too.
Really? Yeah. What, his who come out, then he don't recognize.
Yeah, I think the female lead changed something, then he cannot recognize already or something like that.
Okay. Okay, interesting fun fact. I have a very mild form of prosopagnosia.
Oh, really?
Yes. I am unable to distinguish faces that I don't see often.
Okay.
Mm-mm-mm.
How do you know?
I should give you examples.
Okay.
So like my families, my close friends and myself, I know lah, I know it's me lah. And I can see that a face is a face, not a pancake.
Okay. Okay.
But people that I don't see often, right? Like acquaintances or celebrities, right?
Okay.
Then I got issue with it. So unless they are super distinctive, like Johnny Depp or Jackie Chan, right?
Okay.
Then I won't be able to recognize them.
Okay.
Especially when they play different characters in different shows.
But it's actually quite common to not be able to recognize like celebrities, I guess.
Depends lor on how well you know the celebrity, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, like for example, Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
I know that she's the Hunger Games girl.
Yeah.
The Katniss Everdeen, right?
Uh-huh.
But when she appeared in X-Men as Mystique,
uh-huh,
then I had absolutely no idea that that was her.
Oh.
Even though she looks like, when she is not blue, she looks like her, right?
Like you cannot tell that, oh, that's the Hunger Games girl.
I cannot tell at all until my friend pointed it out to me.
Oh.
Then okay, the best part, right, is I forget. Like I forget that she's Mystique. So when I watch another X-Men movie, because there's a few, right? Then another friend say, hey, that one Jennifer Lawrence eh. Then I'm just like, huh, really meh? Oh yeah, someone said that to me before. It's not like oh yeah, I recognize her. More like, oh yeah, someone told me that before.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Then I have to double check on like IMDb. Like, oh yeah, it's her.
So if you keep seeing, like for example, if you watch like a series and then there's like a lead in it and then you keep like, maybe there's like, I don't know, 3 seasons, then you are watching it, will you be able to recognize this face since you have been seeing it?
Yes. Like for example, I watched Lucifer recently, right?
Uh-huh.
Then I know that guy is Lucifer, season 1, season 2. Uh-huh. Then if I stop watching, maybe season 3, I still will know it's this person.
Okay.
But if the person in this show looks very similar to another person in the show, then I will mess them up.
Oh.
Like recently I watched a documentary, then there were 2 doctors.
Uh-huh.
It's called Lennox Hill lah.
Uh-huh.
So there were 2 doctors, they had this salt and pepper hair. They were both chair and vice chair of the neurosurgery ward.
Okay.
Then I could not tell that they were 2 different people. I was like, why this man so busy ah? Like, wow, before he go this surgery, go that surgery, go this meeting, that meeting. Then I was like thinking, wow, he really very busy eh. They're only episode 4, right? Then I look properly at the name, right? Then I realize, oh my goodness, they have different names.
It's different people.
Yeah, 2 different people. And they were in a meeting together. Then I'm like, oh my goodness, how can he meet himself?
Oh my gosh. So it has nothing to do with like race. Like for example, we might not be able to recognize the difference between 2 Westerners. And they might not be able to recognize the difference between 2 Asians.
Yeah.
But it's not this case, like, I assume.
No, for me it's not. For me, it spans races. But then, you know, what you said is correct. That they did some research and there is like a certain disposition towards, like if you're Asian, you'll be able to recognize Asian faces more well than Westerners. If you're a Western person, then you can recognize Westerners more easily than Asians.
Yeah.
So anyway, example, since we are talking about Jennifers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that I cannot tell the Hollywood Jennifers apart.
Like Jennifer Aniston.
Like Jennifer Garner, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like, okay. I cannot, like, you know when you say all these names, right? I cannot picture them in my head.
I can picture Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Garner, and who on earth is Jennifer Love Hewitt? Cannot. And I know the name, but I can't. It's like, I don't know the face.
Okay, so there are these don't know the face, right?
Yeah.
It's like, equal to me, like, x3. Like, I can imagine, like, some angmoh woman with, like, beautiful wavy hair. But then the face, right, is like somebody used the blur tool and blur the face. I cannot see the face at all.
Okay.
Then even the skin tone, right, cannot see. It's like someone desaturates.
Oh, wow, skin tone.
Yeah,
also.
Cannot see.
Oh, okay.
Then in secondary school, right, I remember my friend was flipping through one of those celebrity magazines we read as teenagers.
Mm.
Like those teens or teenage kind of magazines.
Okay.
Yeah, then I was like, eh, isn't that woman from America's Next Top Model?
Mm-hmm.
Then she was just like, no, this is Rihanna, not Tyra Banks. I was just like, oh my goodness,
I'm so sorry.
Oh my goodness, you have so many examples of this happening to you. Does Rihanna look like Tyra Banks to you?
Very slightly only lah.
But I cannot see the difference, you know. Until
I can see the difference in my brain right now.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's why it's like such a... Like, I can't. I need to see, like, there are two photos side by side and, like, stare. Oh. It's better if they're moving.
It's harder to see the like, little nuances in their faces, mm-hmm. I guess.
It's like a blur too. Like, maybe I forget to wear my spectacles, kind of.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Okay, another interesting thing is that for myself and for some people with this problem, right?
Yes.
We don't recognize people out of context.
Okay.
So, for example, yes. If my dentist never wear his coat, okay. Then I'm in the supermarket, right?
Mm.
I won't know it's my dentist.
You know what? You are the perfect audience for the Clark Kent disguise.
Oh, the super like Superman when he wears specs and don't wear specs.
Correct. Yeah. It's completely different face.
Yeah, oh, he's a completely different person. I would not have known Clark Kent was Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes.
Clark Kent would be perfectly able to fool you.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, Superman, you're so cool. Then later, maybe in the office, I meet Clark Kent, right? Don't know who is he, eh? Some geek.
Office boy.
Yeah, some office boy, I don't know. But actually, it's true, no? You know, when I was in corporate, like, it is quite a big problem for me.
Okay.
Especially for the men.
Okay.
Because they always wear the same thing.
Okay.
Do you not think office men, they all wear similar clothes?
Yes.
Let's wear like those long sleeve shirt, then trousers, right?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
And they have similar accessories also.
Yeah. So like I always mix up the, like for example the guys in supply chain, right?
Uh-huh.
I just mix them up. Like call them by different names. Have to read properly the name at the cubicle.
Then won't they be offended?
I think they kind of know it's like an Eliza thing.
Your cook.
Yeah. Like she will say the wrong name to wrong people.
Okay.
Then, oh, when I bump into them outside office, then I don't know who they
you
are.
You don't know who they are.
They wave at me. Then I'll just walk right past them. Then on Monday or what, when I go back to work, right, they'll be like, hey, you're very tall, eh? Or you're very rude, leh. You know, I bump into you in Orchard. Then I wave. Then my wife say, who are you waving at? Then I thought I wave at the wrong person. But it's you.
What about casual Friday? Everybody mm-hmm. is not in the same clothes as they were.
Yeah, but they sit at the correct place, ma. They sit at their cubicle with the name there.
So when did you know that you have face blindness?
This law in Eastman law in FairPrice is not so bad because in FairPrice everybody wear name tag.
Oh, okay.
But in Eastman, right, nobody wears a name tag. Then you just have to remember people, right? Because it's
people
a very
don't wear name tag.
Yeah, then how to know? Yeah, another time we had this new transfer to our department.
Yeah.
He's an Indian guy. Mm-hmm. Then he's supposed to take him out for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So we were queuing at this Prata Biryani place.
Mm.
Then my colleague was like, hey, where's Yuri? Then I very casually pointed to an Indian guy queuing ahead of me. Then I was like, oh, there? He's queuing there already. Then my colleague looked at me, like, with a face of horror, like, I was making a very bad joke. And then she was like, are you serious?
You're not trying to be racist.
Yeah, she thought that I was making a very bad joke. Oh. Then she's like, that's not Yuri. That's a complete stranger, you know. We don't even know him. Then I'm just like, huh? Really? But yeah, Yuri was late.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but then it was the colleagues at Eastman who like pointed out to me that
I think you have a problem.
Because you keep making very, very strange mistakes. And like, to the point of it being ridiculous.
And it's like, obviously, you're not joking.
Yeah.
Or you're not trying to be racist.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just like, totally, to me, that is our friend, our correct colleague that we are supposed to take out to lunch. Back to face blindness, right?
Yes.
As of right now, there are no widely accepted treatments for this.
Okay.
Yeah. People who had it for a long time like me, right, just learn to live with it, lor. It's not life-threatening or anything. It's quite funny.
That's true. I guess it's quite a relief to know, like, what it is.
Mm.
Yeah, yes. At least, like, you know, it happens to people and, like, it's quite a normal problem.
Yeah. You can actually test for it. Like, there's a lot of tests online. I think they're trying to collect, like, data and research for this.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of free tests done by quite well-known medical associations or health institutions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can just take and see how face blind you are.
Yeah.
I think if you are not face blind, the test will be pretty boring.
Most likely, yes.
For me, it's like, I don't even know what I'm clicking. I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell these four people apart. I'm just like, you know, to me, it's like a random guessing game. I was thinking, oh no, you know, if someone commit a crime, right? I think I will not be able to identify the person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be a very big problem for me.
Yeah. So you went to try the test online.
To me, I really cannot see the difference. Then they very bad one, no. They will like block out one part of the face, right? Like, for example, the chin, the person got like a chin butt or something. Then they'll purposely block it out, right?
Yeah.
Then you're just like, die. Now which one got the chin butt? I don't know.
Took away the characteristic.
Yeah. Which one got the big nose? You know, the nose that joint. Then they will censor it away, right? For the four pictures. Then I'm like, huh? Then now which one? I don't know.
Okay, it's very interesting.
Actually, some famous people have it. You know, Oliver Sacks, British neurologist and author of many books. He has it.
Mm.
Then Jane Goodall, the lady who studied apes.
Oh, she also.
Mm.
Interesting.
And then Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, yeah. So if you bump into me on the street, right? And I completely walk past you, right? It's not that rude, okay? Just that my brain got bugged.
Okay.
I don't recognize you. Maybe next time got patch update, I don't know.
A glitch in the system.
Yeah.
Mm.
Alright. So, Jing'an, what is your search term of the week?
My search term is... fat jars.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Fat jars?
Fat jars.
F-A-R-T,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, what is that? Eee, is it people collect their fat?
Okay, yeah. Why don't you guess? Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
No, why would people collect that? Please tell me that there is some very good purpose for it.
Okay, I mean, in modern day, it is a prank lah, prank thing. And then I found websites that sell this thing.
Oh,
but
no.
Historically, it was used to combat the Great Plague.
What?
In London.
To combat the Great Plague?
Yeah.
How?
In the 1600s.
Uh-huh.
Some doctors actually recommended their patients to fart in jars to help treat exposure to the bubonic plague.
What? So they fart, then after that, what did they do with the fart?
So the logic is like that, okay? Uh-huh. The Great Plague of London has devastated the city between the 1665 and 1666.
Mm-hmm.
And then they believe that it's some sort of a miasma, like a deadly vapor that spread throughout, and then everybody's like breathing in this atmosphere. That's what's causing the illness.
Okay. Somewhat correct, right? Because the pathogens are airborne.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. It's not.
Yeah, it's not airborne. So the doctors believe that the farts could somehow dilute the polluted air because it's equally potent.
Oh no!
therefore, it will reduce the chances of getting infected. So they advise people to have some kind of foul-smelling thing at the ready.
Okay.
So some homeowners, they go and get a goat and then like let it stink up the place. And then others took to farting in jars.
Okay.
Then quickly sealing it.
Okay.
Then when they suspect that they might have been exposed to the germs, they will rush to inhale the scent from the jar.
Ew, no! Inhale! I thought they just wipe it all over their body. Ew! Inhale is so gross! No! That means they use the noxious fumes of their fart to try to kill the plague.
Yes, exactly that.
Bacteria that went into their bodies. Ew!
Yes.
No.
There is no evidence to suggest that this actually worked. But it most likely had a placebo effect and calmed the nerves of the people watching the dead bodies pile up in the streets.
Oh my goodness, it's a placebo.
So the Great Plague of London killed an estimate of 100,000 people in London, which is about a quarter of London's population at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caused by the Yersinia pestis, bacterium.
Okay.
Which is what is responsible for the Black Death.
Okay,
from
yes.
the 1300s.
Mm-hmm.
It will cause bubonic plague and other types of plagues.
Okay.
Yeah. So then this Great Plague of London is like a later series of outbreak.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So how does it transmit?
Oh, it is transmitted by the bite of an infected rat flea.
Rat flea?
Yeah.
Rat flea very small leh. If you say yeah, rat, exactly. It's not so bad, but rat flea is very like...
Yeah, but last time the London had a problem of rats.
Oh no, Bishan also got a problem of rats leh. Mm. Will we have a bubonic plague of Bishan?
Yes. Mm. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I found the website that sells the fart jars in modern day.
No, okay.
And it's called Jarts.
Jarts? Like jar of farts?
Yeah.
Jarts. J-A-R-T-S.
Mm. That's like the standard prank version. Okay. Then they will seal the fart and then there's a note inside.
But they will seal a human fart or an animal fart or a chemical
That's
fart.
That's the part that I find the most gross.
Okay.
Because it seems like it's a human fart.
Ew.
And it's not like the person's fart, you know what I'm saying? Like it's somebody else's fart, what?
Ew.
And then like there's the, other than the standard prank version uh-huh. of the jar, right? There's mm-hmm. the love puff.
Okay, what is that? What is love puff?
And the description says, is that love I smell? True intimacy only comes when you feel free enough to fart in each other's presence. Let them know how you feel with our special jart, the love puff.
But whose fart is that?
It's not the person's fart, that's why.
It's not the giver's fart, right?
Exactly, it's not.
Ew. Ew, then why will you open the jar of the like the seller's fart?
Exactly. I mean, this the person who received is not supposed to know that there's a fart inside. But it's just a jar, then
but
they won't
the loved
say.
One, you must know what?
The loved one, the person won't know lah. Then it's like, you know, as if it's like a funny prank on your wife or something.
But you can just make your own fart, what?
Exactly.
No.
And then they put there, right, is that they make the farts themselves there on the website. Then I just like, why would you be
how
proud
much
of
is
that?
It? How much is it? I want to know.
Oh, the standard one is $10. The love one is $15.
Why would people buy this? I mean, if you tell me it's a celebrity fart, then maybe there's some crazy people who will buy it.
Okay.
But it's not, right?
No, it's not.
Humans, y'all are so weird.
I think it's very gross.
Yes, it is. Doop, 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 doop. Okay, moving on. It is time for our special segment. 3 things to Google from a friend.
Yay! So, Eliza, who is the contributor for this week? And what did he or she ask us to search for?
Our contributor this week is one of our most avid listeners. Pong!
Ooh.
Yeah, it's Pong.
Okay, hi Pong.
Yeah, she's very excited to give us search terms.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Is sensitive toothpaste real or a gimmick? Very pressing question.
Hmm.
I think it's real lah, huh? I always come out on the news. It always has ads on TV.
But they always say that the Dentist Association approval thing is like...
Like onsiao say onsiao shok kind, is it?
Yeah.
Huh. It's like big pharma la.
Yeah, yeah,
big pharma always say that yeah, drugs are the best. Cure it, best. No side effects la la la. Minimal side effects.
Or the number one dentist recommended toothpaste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is it real or a gimmick?
I think it's a gimmick eh. Do you think it's a collusion?
It's a conspiracy of...
I mean, they always show the advertisement to have some doctor that is recommending the toothpaste, right?
Yes, yes.
But how do you know that person is really a doctor or a dentist?
That's true. They just wear one coat only.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be a very handsome actor, then just...
It's not like I've heard of this person or have gone to his dental services.
Okay, let's go deeper into this.
All the top searches are all dental websites, all the brand names.
No leh, mine is not leh. Mine is, I think my search results are different from yours. Mine is This is why you find reports of sensitive toothpaste not being worthy. The truth about toothpaste. Toothpaste can do more harm than good. Why so scary one? Hey, why like that? Why does Google keep trying to sell you things, but Google keeps trying to sell me conspiracies? Okay, this is from a dental website. Toothpaste for sensitive teeth. Does it make a difference? Many manufacturers have a sensitive toothpaste that should protect and minimize the discomfort of sensitive teeth. However, many people are not convinced that sensitive toothpaste is worth the added cost or effort. This dental surgery place said that they are mostly the same, but the key difference between regular and sensitive toothpaste is that sensitive toothpaste has additives that help desensitize or protect the sensitive parts of your teeth. And it will work only if you have holes in your enamel of your teeth and your sensitive dentin is exposed.
Okay, interesting.
It won't work if you have other kind of tooth pain. For example, you have a cracked tooth.
Oh, okay.
Or if you have a cavity, cannot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you have infected roots, exposed nerve, damaged teeth, all cannot. Even if you have gum disease, it doesn't work. So it doesn't work in a lot of contexts. It only works in a small context.
Okay, so you are reading from a website that offers dental services, right?
Mm.
Okay, so now I read from this Medium.
Okay, go.
Medium article, which is like supposedly not...
not affiliated to the dental industry.
Yes.
Okay, come on. Let's see what they say.
They say that sensitive teeth is not something you can just cure. So the toothpaste just numbs your teeth.
Mm.
So they say that I would argue that claiming desensitizing toothpaste cures sensitive teeth is akin to claiming morphine cures the pain from a gunshot.
Mm. Actually, it's quite true. Just now the person say it only has additives to desensitize the dentin that is exposed. But other thing it does not solve.
It's 治标不治本.
Treat the symptom, not the cause.
Yes.
So, is that our answer? Yes, I think that's the answer. I click onto a few sites, right?
I think the answer is that it numbs it. End of story.
But if you have problems with your teeth, you need to go fix it at the root cause.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, good job. Wow, Pong, this is a very, very good search term. I had no idea.
I mean, even knowing all of this and that it is a kind of an economic thing, I still want to brush my teeth.
According to the doctors, you still have to brush your teeth, but the option of using a toothpaste or not is up to you.
Oh.
Yeah, but you still need to brush your teeth because you need to remove the food debris from your mouth.
So it's about the toothpaste, like, whether it is needed or not.
Yes, but brushing is needed. You can just do it without
toothpaste.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you won't have the added benefits of like teeth whitening or like teeth strengthening if there's fluoride
nice
in it.
Nice breath.
Yeah, or the minty taste, you know? Or whatever grape flavor or cherry flavor that you want. You know? Yeah.
Indeed. I used to eat toothpaste a lot when I was younger.
Eat toothpaste?
Yeah.
Like you swallow it,
Yeah, I think it's very nice to eat it.
Can meh?
You're not supposed to,
Won't get stomach ache meh?
I mean, I didn't eat an excessive amount, but yeah, I ate quite a lot of toothpaste when I was younger.
Like you were like squeeze a dollop of like a pea size into your mouth.
Like I will purposely like, you know, squeeze a bit more and then like eat it lah.
Why can't you eat a mint? Like can't you eat Polo sweet or something?
I don't know.
Or Mentos.
Because I thought that it tastes like it, so I will eat the toothpaste like in the morning.
Oh my
goodness.
I
was very young lah.
Fun fact, Jian was a toothpaste eater. Do you still eat it now?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. Not all toothpaste tastes nice.
So what is the nice one? The blue one, the green one, the all white one, the one with black streaks?
I think the red one used to taste nice, then now not nice really.
Oh my goodness. She has a discerning palette for toothpaste. Okay, we learned something new.
Okay, what is the next search term?
Okay, the next search term is Carl the Fog. I have no idea what it means.
Carl?
K-A-R-L.
K-A-R-L
Space
The
Fog, F-O-G. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. Carl the Fog. Fog like condensation kind of fog. What is that?
Oh my god, this is so interesting.
What? What is going on?
It is San Francisco's fog. You know San Francisco, the
mm-hmm.
place?
Mm-hmm.
So like there is a fog lah. And then they name it Carl.
Why? I'm looking at it now. This is so interesting. How come it has a name? It has a Twitter account called Carl the Fog. And his bio says, all that is sunny does not glitter. Not all those in the fog are lost.
Wow.
So why is Carl the Fog? Who maintains this account? Okay, never mind. Let's go. Let's answer the more important questions. How did the fog came to be named Carl? There's actually a whole article on it.
What on earth? Okay, so a lot of people go to San Francisco, right? Then they want to take picture of the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, because Carl the Fog comes in sometimes, mm-hmm. so it's a bit of a challenge.
Okay.
Although this might disappoint some people, but the San Francisco people are on a first name basis with Carl.
This lady that they interviewed said, in the beginning, the fog was a little oppressive. But when I found out about Carl, the fog, it actually made the fog a friendlier presence and more of a neighbor than just bad weather.
Oh wow, the article says that the human behind Carl
mm-hmm.
remains firmly anonymous.
Whoa, so no one knows.
And Carl is a published author with a book of photos and wisdom.
What?
And then this guy called Steve Marcus,
mm-hmm.
the editor of Carl's book, is one of the few people who knows his true identity. He says, I can't tell you anything, only revealing that Carl is very kind.
The creator's friends were complaining about a classic bout of bad Bay Area weather. Then they call it fogpocalypse.
What? Okay.
Then they were saying, another day ruined by the fog. But the Carl creator
mm-hmm.
felt that his friends were wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. The fog was mysterious, romantic even.
Oh.
And the creator wanted the fog to defend itself.
Oh.
So the creator created a Twitter account.
I see.
It has more than 300k followers.
Carl the Fog is very cute. The profile photo is just a grey cloud.
Yeah, this is so cute. Wow, thank you Pong for telling us and our listeners about this. This is very, very interesting.
Yeah, I guess it reminds us to be more appreciative of what we have and then make the best of any situation.
To see the beauty and the good side of things, right?
Yeah, the silver lining.
Okay, the third search term that she gave us is death by Dutch oven.
Death by Dutch oven.
Yeah, I'm a bit scared to search it. I don't know whether it's a Holocaust thing or not.
Oh. What is a Dutch oven in the first place?
I have no idea.
Okay. In the culinary world, a Dutch oven is a thick-walled iron cooking pot with a tight-fitting lid. In the common vernacular, however, a Dutch oven refers to the crude act of passing gas under the covers in bed and then pulling those covers over the head of the bed's other occupant, trapping him or her in a foul-smelling pocket.
Oh my god, it's so related to your fart search term.
Yes, my fart jar search term.
This death by a Dutch oven is... Oh my goodness.
Oh no, this guy go and like do the Dutch oven on his wife, then he accidentally suffocated her.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That means he cover the wife with the blanket, then he go and fart on her. Oh my goodness, I just clicked on the article.
Yeah.
And it says that he received a 5-year suspended sentence for the accidental death of his wife by toxic suffocation. After he gave her a Dutch oven that went horribly, horribly wrong. The wife was reading a book in bed. And then she was suddenly and forcibly pinned under the duvet by Mr. Flannery, who sealed the edges with his enormous bolus of flatulence, which displaces all the available oxygen so that Mrs. Flannery passed out nearly instantly and was dead within 30 seconds. Oh my goodness, she died so quickly eh.
I know, right? How is that even?
Oh, because he has miscalculated two crucial factors which led to the tragic outcome. Number one is the Mrs. Flannery tucked the bed sheets in a military way. Okay. So it created a almost airtight seal.
Excuse me, everyone. This is not real. This article is simply a humorous spoof from the Ronson writer, whose content is self-described as part satire, part opinion. And he hopes that it's mildly amusing. It's not real, not real, not real.
So you won't die la?
No.
Oh my goodness. I was horrified eh. How do you know it's not real?
This is the fact check website what?
Oh. Oh no, I was so conned. I was so involved with the story. Mr. Flannery and Mrs. Flannery, you had me in the first half. NGL, not gonna lie. But we learned a new term though.
Yeah,
Dutch oven.
Interesting.
People, huh? Don't naughty go and do to your spouse. Huh? Maybe okay. Give them a bit of...
It's not fun.
Give them a bit of a breathing room. If you want to do it. Don't accidentally become the news.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you, Pong, for your search terms. That was very interesting. We learned quite a bit.
Yes. Okay, Eliza, so what is your second search term?
My search term is... Safari as a way of life.
Safari as a way of life. That means living in a safari.
Safari as a way of life.
Okay. Living in the safari with animals. Is it the safari? It's not the safari I'm thinking of.
Yes, it is the safari that you're thinking of.
Oh.
But it doesn't mean living with the animals.
Okay. So...
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's actually a book title.
Oh, okay.
And the mission statement. Mm-hmm. Of a British Kenyan photojournalist and activist called Dan Eldon.
Okay.
He was killed in Somalia in 1993 at 22 years old.
Oh.
While working as a photojournalist for Reuters.
Oh, okay.
He left behind a series of journals, which has been published as books. And one of them is called Safari as a Way of Life.
Oh, interesting.
Have you heard of him?
No.
Me neither. Yeah, I found out about him because I was working on my visual journal.
Oh.
Then I thought this year I'll incorporate some new techniques into my journal. Mm-hmm. Then I borrowed a book about visual journaling. Mm-hmm. Then in the foreword, they dedicated this book to him.
Oh.
Then there was a picture of this Dan Eldon in the front. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, this guy is awfully young for someone who has passed away. Mm-hmm. And also, what did he do that inspired the authors of this book? To want to dedicate it to him. So of course I had to Google him lah. And then I found out that he has a very interesting story.
Okay.
So when he was 7, he, his sister and his parents moved to Nairobi, Kenya.
Okay.
From Britain.
Okay.
So his dad got a job posting there. And then his mom was working as a freelance journalist for the English newspaper in Kenya.
Oh. Okay.
Then as a teenager, he used to follow her to cover stories and take pictures, which were sometimes featured in some of the local newspapers and magazines. Then at 14, he started a fundraising campaign for open heart surgery to save a young Kenyan girl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then he and his friends successfully raised $5,000 for her.
Wow.
So I guess that's where his activist streak started.
Okay.
Around this time, he also started on his journals. Then when he was 18, it's quite long ago, it's 1988. Okay, so he took a gap year and decided to take a road trip with a few friends.
Okay.
So they drove from Nairobi to Malawi in a Land Rover across 5 countries.
Okay.
Okay, when they got there, they saw a refugee camp. Then they decided to do something about it. So they got to America because he was heading there for college, right? And then he and his friends started a charity and raised $25,000 for the refugee camp.
Wow.
And then they decided to drive the money there themselves. So they met back in Africa and then they drove themselves there in two jeeps.
Okay.
On another long road trip.
Okay, carrying that 25,000.
Yeah. Okay. They put it in the seat cushions and all that.
Okay.
So they carried it. So the money they raised paid for 3 wells and some blankets for the refugees. Fun fact. Christopher Nolan was one of the members of this trip.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
The film director.
The Interstellar, Inception.
And...
Tenet.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight,
And Dark Knight, yeah. Okay, so Dan traveled a lot during those years, and he continued taking pictures and making journals. Then during this time, Reuters spotted his work and published some of his photos. Okay, so in 1992, he went to Mogadishu in Somalia to cover the famine there, as well as the rising conflict. So there was a civil war going on, and an incident where some Pakistani peacekeepers were killed. So long story short, the Americans intervened by bombing what they thought was a council of warlords.
Okay.
They were trying to start a civil war.
Okay.
But it turned out to be a gathering of respected elders.
Oh no.
And a lot of civilians ended up dead or badly injured.
Oh no.
Yeah, so the Americans really messed up there.
Okay.
So then the survivors of the attack ran to the journalist's hotel where Dan was staying. And then they asked the journalist to go to the bombing site to take pictures and film what happened.
Okay.
Because they want the world to see what the Americans did.
Yeah.
Then they promised them protection.
Okay.
But then when they reached there, right, the journalists, they started filming and taking pictures. An angry mob formed.
And then
attacked them. And Dan and his three colleagues were stoned and beaten to death.
Wow. I see.
Yeah. So there's a lot more to this story. This is like a super, super mega short summary of it.
Okay.
Yeah. There's actually a documentary and a movie about him that his mom and his sister helped to produce. So if you're interested to know more, you can go and watch them.
What an interesting life. He sounds like a very passionate person.
Yeah. At 22, he's like already like traveling and being an activist and photojournalist and all. And his works are published in the newspapers. Okay, anyway, back to Safari as a Way of Life. As a mission statement, okay, Safari as a Way of Life.
Yes.
He wrote this in his journal. To explore the unknown and the familiar, distant and near, and to record in detail with the eyes of a child, any beauty of the flesh or otherwise, horror, irony, traces of utopia or hell. Select your team with care, but when in doubt, take on some new crew and give them a chance. But avoid at all costs fluctuations of sincerity with your best people. The end.
Wow. Interesting.
A very deep search term.
It'll take some time for us to digest it.
Just want to share with you this story of a very inspirational and passionate young guy. Yeah. And to this day, his mom and his sister are like trying to push forward this being an activist for young people, as well as being creative and documenting your journey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a whole organization for it and all that. But yeah, his name lives on.
Passion is infectious.
Indeed. Okay, so Jian, what is your search term for the week?
Okay, my search term for the week is philtrum.
Philtrum?
Yeah. P-H-I-L-T-R-U-M.
I have no idea what that means.
Everybody has this. Most people have this. Sorry.
Most people?
Yeah.
Not everyone has it.
No.
I guess that it is... must be some genetic thing that passed down. The earlobe thing. The extra the earlobe that some people have and some people don't.
No.
the tendon in the arm that some people have and some people don't.
Oh, like the evolutionary thing.
Yeah, the evolutionary tendon that some... the tongue, the turning, the twisty tongue that some people can do and some people can't.
Oh yeah, I can't and you can, right?
Yeah. Is it that?
No.
Philtrum, the turning of your tongues. No. No.
No, it's not.
Okay, I've run out of guesses.
Okay, the answer is, do you know there's a groove in your upper lip right below your nose? You can touch it.
Yes. Like there's a little the dent, right?
Dent. Yeah, that's called your philtrum.
What? I never knew it had a name. What?
So, scientists have always wondered why this thing exists. Yeah, why is there a little dent there? And like, it seems to have no purpose at all.
Okay.
Okay, but it's actually a residual reminder of the time that we spent in our mother's womb.
Hmm? Really?
Yes. It's because when we are forming as an embryo,
mm-hmm.
the two sides of your face develop independently of one another and come to meet in the middle of your face. So it creates the philtrum.
You mean we develop left side, right side, then then connect in the center?
Yeah, correct. Something like that.
What? Oh, wow. That's so
it's
cool.
Actually three parts. Lah. The bottom is another part. Then the middle.
Oh.
Left, right. So it's three. Lah. Oh. Think of it. It's like a pie.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Okay.
So it slowly develops. Then the eyes come in. So, scientists have taken data from scans
mm-hmm.
of a developing embryo to show how the face develops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, they take, then they can emulate it. You can watch the video online.
Okay.
It's quite interesting. They actually see that the three sections, the left and the right part of your face, and then the chin and mouth area, they come together and they fit like a puzzle.
Whoa, yeah. That's so cool. Okay.
So, because it doesn't seem to have any function,
uh-huh.
so everybody has been a bit puzzled, why does this thing exist? Because
mm-hmm.
We don't really have any use for it.
I thought it was to, you know, like, separate the airflow when you breathe in. Split the airflow, you know, your left nostril air go inside there, then right nostril.
I think maybe even if without that filtrum, it will still make sense.
Oh yeah, that's true, Okay, fine.
Okay, so anyway, ancient Romans
mm-hmm.
have found their own function for it. To them, the philtrum was erotic, and they named it the Cupid's bow.
Cupid's bow?
Yeah. And the word itself actually derives from the Greek words,
uh-huh.
meaning love potion.
Love potion?
Yeah, philtrum.
This tiny dent.
This little thing is called the love potion.
It's called a love potion. Oh my goodness, that's very funny. Okay. Okay, this is so interesting though.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's a connection point of our three parts of our faces.
Yes. So it has to do with facial development, basically.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I would have not thought about that.
Yeah. So it should remind us that we come from nothing and we formed into now.
Yeah. Yes. So every time I look in the mirror, right, you're just like, oh wow. I was cells.
Yeah. I was like Play-Doh, you know. Then you like make until the middle part, then there's a tiny dent. Okay, we have come to the almost end of our podcast, and now it is time for one thing to recommend. Eliza, what is your recommendation for the week?
My recommendation for this week is a music genre called Brain Breaks. Brain Breaks are actually songs for preschoolers and children that you can find on YouTube. They are very catchy songs with actions and movements to do. So I saw a preschool teacher dancing to it on Reddit, and I thought, it will be brilliant.
Yes.
To start my day with this.
Yes.
Because it's very high energy and there's a lot of movements.
Can you like describe what is it like?
So like, yeah, they will ask you to like clap your hands, stomp your feet,
so
stomp
like
your
with
feet.
A,
yeah,
with a song.
Catchy music at the background.
Okay.
Yeah. So I actually did it the last few days in the morning before I started my day. And I noticed a huge improvement in my mood.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. So like, you know, you can also do it when you need a break after sitting at the computer for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah. So I got a pro tip for this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do the song and mm-hmm. the actions
mm-hmm.
in it with a very big smile on your face.
Ah.
Yeah. Even if you don't feel like it, you wake up and you're very grumpy and moody, or you just pretend to smile. Because science has already shown that smiling will trick the brain into thinking that you have a good mood.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Mm. And the songs are about 2 to 3 minutes, very fast one. Okay. Faster than yoga or whatever those app, heat app that y'all have on the phone. 7 minutes, you know, 10 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
this one's
yes,
only
yes.
2 to 3 minutes only. Yeah. And okay, they're all very like hyped. Hyped for preschoolers. Okay. So if you go to YouTube, right? And you search Brain Breaks, right? There are like thousands of songs. So I recommend to start with Action Song by the Singing Walrus. Or if you're stuck at a desk, like you have to be seated, then you try From Your Seat by the learning station.
Ooh.
Yeah, so from there, then you just click on more, whichever you want.
You have to actually commit, you know, the dancing.
Yeah, you commit 100% and you smile. Okay? Okay. Anyway, Jingan.
Okay.
What is your recommendation for the week?
Okay, my recommendation for the week is a sci-fi book. Mm-hmm. It's called The Ultimate Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay. Okay.
Do you know this book?
Yes.
So I'm quite a big sci-fi fan. Okay, but I mean, I haven't read that many, but like I feel that I like sci-fi stories quite a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is one of the first ones that I read, I think. And mm-hmm. it's quite long actually, but it is very haphazard in a sense that the humor is quite funny and it's like a bit everywhere. And then like you get dragged into this adventure with this person called Arthur Dent. All the rules that we know about the universe are kind of like out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then very bizarre things happen. And I don't know, it just feels like a very fun ride to be in this world.
It starts
from Earth though.
Mm-hmm.
And then the starting is something like Earth is being cleared for a super galactic highway.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody please leave.
Okay.
The premises.
Okay.
Yeah, so something like that. Mm. Quite fun.
Okay, good recommendation.
Yes. Okay, we've reached the end of this week's podcast. Thank you, Eliza, for making this podcast with me.
And thank you, Jingan, for doing this podcast with me. If you have Googled anything interesting lately, you can drop us an email at yyyshow@gmail.com and we will search it up on the show.
You can also follow us on our Twitter, Instagram, or on our Facebook page, where we post images of some of the things that we talked about today. You can also help share our show with friends that might enjoy a comedy trivia podcast.
If you would like to support us, you can head over to our Patreon page and give us a small contribution to help us keep the show running. So...